Good morning. Man, Wes, I don't know what's going on. I ain't hearing me fine.
I don't know what's going on either.
He's so soft-spoken. Hey, Joy, when is the sign done? When do you do that? So when did you do it this week? What time? Was it before you texted me or after? That's too bad. I was going to use it, but I can't. My point was, God works in funny ways. God's plan is perfect. And I was hoping she did this like Sunday after church. Because today we're going to talk about worry. And I pulled in this morning, I see on the sign is worry. But now I think, she probably just... Oh, see, so it is God's plan. I gotcha. So here, I got something I want to share with you real briefly. And I'm not a... Well, I stalk on Facebook, but I subscribe to a thing called God's 411. And I get these little videos. And someday I'll get techie enough to be ahead of the time and give it to Julie so we can play it on the screen. But for now, I'll just read it to you. And it kind of... talked about where I saw this on Monday. It says there once was a family who had nothing to eat. The cupboards were bare and there was no money for groceries, but they did have an old shotgun and three shells. The eldest son saw the hunger in his family's eyes and he decided that he would go out and hunt something for dinner. He was a good shot, and he set off into the forest feeling optimistic. As he walked, he saw a rabbit nibbling at a fern. Taking careful aim, he fired at the rabbit and missed it. Then he saw a squirrel scampering up a tree. He fired at the squirrel, but missed it. Nervous now, he walked deeper into the woods. After some time, he saw a wild turkey. But he knew he only had one bullet left. He had to make this shot count. Then a voice came to him saying, "Pray first, aim high, and stay focused." But at the same moment, he saw a beautiful buck walk into the clearing. That much meat would feed his family for a week. He slowly raised the gun and took aim. Now we gotta wait for this ad that comes up. Sorry. He slowly raised the gun and took careful aim at the deer. He shifted his weight and a threatening hiss rose up from the grass. Looking down, he saw a rattlesnake coiling between his legs. Terrified now, he began to lower the gun to shoot the snake and save his life, even if it meant his family would continue to go hungry. But again, the voice said to him, "Pray first, aim high, and stay focused." Seeing no other option, the boy decided to listen to the voice. He prayed, imploring God to save his life and hoping that he would somehow find a way to feed his family. He aimed the gun up high in the tree and shot at the wild turkey. The shot was good and the turkey fell from the tree. But then something amazing happened. The bullet bounced off the turkey and struck the deer. At the same moment, the old gun finally gave up and broke. The handle fell off the gun and onto the snake, killing it instantly. The combined force of the shot fired and the breaking gun sent the boy flying into a pond. When he swam back to shore, he got his bearings to look around. He found he had fish in all his pockets, and a dead deer and a turkey to bring home to his family. The snake was dead because the boy listened to God and trusted in him to provide for him and his family. This story reminds us to pray first before we undertake difficult tasks, to aim high and shoot for your goals, even if they seem out of reach. And at first I didn't know how we were going to tie that in, but then I thought, you know, this kid could have worried about that snake, shot the snake, and been hungry. But he didn't. He listened to what God... First of all, he prayed, which I think is what the sign says. Pray first, right? Okay? And then he aimed high. Okay, when we have worry in our life, God doesn't want us to dwell in it. God doesn't want us to just stay in that low place. He wants us to aim high. So I just thought that was kind of a neat story. It really didn't tie in completely to the message, but kind of did. So we're going to be in Luke today. And, you know, last week Les talked about, I don't even remember, but it was right here because I was looking at my Bible and this passage just screamed at me, Matt, you need to go with this passage. And so we're going to use it. It's Luke chapter 12, and it starts in verse 22. And the title is, Do Not Worry. Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Am I in the right? Yeah. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You know what? I'm going to stop. We're going to pray real quick. Should have done that first. Dear Heavenly Father, just ask you to come before us and just put your hand on me and my voice and just shut me up and let your words ring out, Lord. And I just pray for this congregation that they get what you need out of this. You need them to get out of this message. And even through my simple words, Lord, they take home something they can apply to their lives today. In your name we pray. Amen. So here in the first part of this passage, Jesus said, Will you quit worrying about your life? Quit worrying about what you're going to eat. Quit worrying about what you wear. I'm going to pull this verse out every night. Because at my house, when it becomes bedtime, well, I'm already in bed, but I hear this, Mom, is this okay to wear? Or Matt, does this match? Or Matt, is this okay? Don't worry about what you wear. God said it. Okay, I don't worry about what I wear. And they usually tell me, Dad, your pants are drooping. You don't match. Why are you wearing that with those pants? I don't care. Okay, but I live with four women, so they care what they wear. Well, three of them do. Lindsay could care less. Lindsay has sweatshirts and jeans, and she's perfectly happy. But it says, consider the ravens. They cannot reap or sow. But yet I feed them. Do you not think your life is more valuable than the birds? Guys, I think sometimes we sell that short. Because we don't think we're very important to God. We think we're small. Okay? Think about our system outside. Everything kind of feeds off the other, right? The worms have to have something to eat, right? They eat the dirt and whatever we drop, and nutrients, and whatever, I don't know. But then the birds eat the worms, the fish eat the worms, if you're a good fisherman. But then everything builds off of everything else. God created that. Do you think He's going to let me go hungry? Do you think He's going to let me run around naked? I guarantee you, He's not. Okay? He's going to clothe me. He's going to take care of my needs. Here's the thing that really struck me about that first part of the passage. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And then, this is God. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So God's telling us, guys, you guys can't really do much. Because this you can't add a single minute to your life or a single hour to your life. Why do you worry about it? It says, since you can't do that, don't worry about everything else. I will take care of it. Any of us worriers here? Shannon, really? Chris, did you raise your hand? I wasn't watching. Okay. Listen, I'm not. Chris will tell you that and it drives you crazy. But I've always been taken care of. I think I'll always be taken care of. And I just don't worry about that. I worry about going to the grocery store. I don't worry about what I'm going to eat. I worry about going to the grocery store and dealing with people. Because, man, you get out in society and it is rough. Right? But God doesn't want you to worry. And we'll get into this deeper. I just wanted a poll. I think most of us are worriers, right? We all worry about something. Now, verse 27. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide pursues for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's that saying? If we're worried about everything and we worry and we let it take over our life instead of serving God and glorifying his kingdom, there's our treasure. We've earned it here on earth. He's saying, guys, I'm going to take care of everything you need here on earth. Don't worry about that. Serve my kingdom and you will get your treasure in heaven. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now I'm going to move on and we're going to talk about a different passage. But I like how that one was worded because it breaks it down for me into simple terms. As I think about flowers and I think about grass, that stuff goes away. You know, a good flower lasts how long? I bought flowers for Valentine's Day. How long they last? 2 weeks. So those are pretty good flowers. Because most flowers I buy, they don't last that long. But flowers and grass and trees, they come and they go, and trees last from spring until summer, the end of summer, and then they fall off, they die, and the tree regenerates itself for the next spring. God takes care of that, okay? God takes care of that. If you think he's not going to take care of what you need, but he takes care of that tree, or he takes care of that flower blooming, or he takes care of that grass that we're eventually going to rake up and throw to a fire. If he's not going to take care of you, come see me after church. Okay? Because I don't think we think that, because I think we know we're important to God, but I think sometimes we let our life take over and then that brings doubt. Because doubt comes from Satan. And he makes us so doggone busy and so doggone focused on our life that we don't think about the kingdom or the life after. Our life here on earth. The next passage I want to use is Matthew, I think. Yeah, Matthew 6. So I'll give you some time to turn there. We'll go back two books and we should be there. I just want to read you a little excerpt here, and it says, Is there a sin nice middle class Christians commit more than the sin of worry? Okay, and I'm going to take you through a day in the life. You wake up 10 minutes later than you had hoped, and anxiety already starts to creep in. What if I'm late? What about traffic? What's the weather like? You pass by the mirror and worry that your face has more wrinkles than it used to. You rush downstairs, and because you're in a hurry, you let the kids eat whatever they want. So then, you start to worry that if sugar really does cause cancer. As you get the kids ready to leave, you realize one of your boys didn't do his homework again. You worry if he's ever going to get his head screwed on straight. And as you drop the kids off, you worry that they may fall in with the wrong crowd, or fall off the monkey bars. Once you get home, you pull up the Facebook just to unwind. There you read about how awesome everyone else's kids are and all the amazing cupcakes your friends make, and you worry that you might be a failure as a mom or a dad. Later in the morning, you feel that pain in your knee again. You worry about having to get knee replacement surgery or whether your insurance will cover that and how you'll pay for it and who will take care of the kids if you're laid up for a month. Then you worry that maybe the pain is something worse. So you check off, this is what I do, you check all the medical websites and realize you probably have a rare case of whooping cough that's spread to your appendages. Hours later, when your kids are in bed, you turn on the television to forget about the day. As you flip through the channels and get caught up on the news, you start to worry about the economy and the polar vortex and the rise in crime in your city. You worry about the racial divisions in this country and how you'll talk to your friend who sees things a little differently. And maybe you worry whether the police would treat you fairly, or you worry about the safety of your brother who is a police officer. So you turn off the TV and talk to your husband. And this one hit home because this is Chris and I. You turn off the TV and talk to your husband and worry about his cough that doesn't seem to get better, and worry about layoffs they're having at work. And finally, as you lay down for the night, you feel a tremendous sense of anxiety, and you don't even know why. For reasons you can't understand, you start worrying about life and kids and your parents and your church and your health and flying and driving and sleeping and eating, in general fear that the days ahead could be really bad. Can anybody else relate? Okay. I'm going to tell you that Jesus can take care of all that. Jesus can help. Worry may be the most common sin among your regular guys at church. Now, you may think that's not very encouraging, because you say, great, I worry about everything. And on top of my worrying, I'm going to feel bad about worrying, and now I'm going to worry about that. Huh. But be encouraged. If worry is just a part of your personality, or part of being a mom, or a student, or a businessman, or whatever, God may not do anything to help you. But if worry is a sin, then God can forgive you and you can overcome it. So sometimes we play it off as personality conflicts, and I'm not here to give you a pessimistic view, but worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. If we let it consume us, that's the devil creeping, right? We cannot let worry consume us. So Matthew 6, 25-34. I'll just give you a little brief synopsis. Three times in this, Jesus says, do not be anxious. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus is interested in more than handing down commands. He wants to get at our hearts. And so he gives seven reasons why we shouldn't be anxious. And we're going to break those down. Reason number one, life is too important. And we're in 6, and we're going to start 25-34. And again, the title is Do Not Worry. In verse 25, reason number one, life is too important. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes. So, does it really matter that we have good things here in life? That we eat all the best foods, and we have all the best clothes, we have the right tags. And listen, I'd hate to be a kid these days. Because, man, I've seen kids that if you don't have Nike, or if you don't have Under Armour shirts, or if you don't have whatever, you're not part of the crew, or you don't get to feel cool. But we waste a lot of time worrying about that stuff. And what happens? Our life passes us by. And our years get away from us. Guys, don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Listen, I don't worry about what I wear. It drives my wife nuts and my kids. But my jeans, I don't even know what brand they are. They're Walmart $7 jeans, okay? That's what I like, right? So that is what it is. But since life is not life more important than food, worry about, and the body, or, sorry. Yeah, life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. Guys, if we don't take care of this, and this in here, who cares what you wear? How do we do that? We take care of our inner body by getting into this. You know, how you take care of your outer body, that's a totally different thing. There's many ways to do it. But reason number one, life is too important. Reason number two, you are too important. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I don't know how else to put it, guys. God thinks we are pretty important. God thinks we are pretty important. Reason number three. This is probably, you know, if I was truly numbering these, and I didn't, I went in order of the Bible, but this would probably be number one for me. Reason number three, worrying just doesn't do any good. It just doesn't do any good. Verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So there's God saying, guys, you can worry about it, but guess what? It's not going to do a lick of good. Why worry about it? Have you ever looked back at the hard times in life and thought, I don't know how I would have made it through that if I hadn't worried? Nobody reflects on the past and concludes, money sure was tight, but worry really pushed me through. Junior high was difficult. I only wish I could have worried more. The diagnosis was frightening, but then I got all my friends to worry with me. Okay? We don't say that, right? If we all took a few seconds right now and worried about making our car payments, paying off the mortgage, being without insurance, we wouldn't live 1 second longer. I haven't checked this with the doctors, but I don't think they ever stand at the bedside and say, well, ma'am, it doesn't look good at all. All I think we can do is sit around and worry. Guys, what I want you to take from this is, our life is important, and if we sit around and worry, we're not doing anything to extend our life, nor are we doing any good, right? We don't know when our time is. We don't know when our good times are. We don't know when our bad times are. So let's sit around and worry about when our good times are coming, right? No, we go out and serve God's kingdom, and we serve the guy who died on the cross for me. it's a lot more beneficial than sitting around and worrying about whether I'm going to live through the day. Reason number four, God cares about you. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So that was kind of cool because he compared, and Solomon was a king, and he was always dressed really well, but in here it says he didn't clothe him as well as he clothed the flowers of the field. That was pretty cool. He cares about you. God makes the wildflowers grow. Why? Because he wants to. Because he's creative. Because he likes beauty. Because he wants people to enjoy them. Because he cares about the flowers. Then the guy I used for this passage, he goes on and says, the grass is going to die, your lawn will be brown, it'll be cold, frozen, dead, probably is already, but in a few months it will all come back and you won't have anything to do with it. Maybe you'll plant some more seed, maybe you'll get a lawn care specialist out to help make sure things look great, but even if you do nothing, the grass is going to come up and turn green and you're going to have to mow it and complain about it. So don't worry about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because God cares about us. Do you see what Jesus calls warriors? He calls us little faith. Our worry is an insult to God's character. When we worry, we are not believing the truth about our God. We are doubting that he sees us, that he cares about us, and he wants the best for us. So, I don't know. We've got to have, we all love our God. We've got to all trust our God. We've got to all have faith in our God. And I think as we expand our love, our trust, and our faith in our God, guess what's going to go down? Our worry. So every time we have something to worry about, let's dig in here a little deeper. There's passages about it. We've just read two in two separate books, and they basically say the same thing. Worded, maybe a couple words a little differently. Reason number five, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but we're going to talk about it. It's in verse 30. It says, reason number five is pagans worry. In verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and going tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Listen, the worst thing I want to hear when I go to heaven is apart from me. Or you of little faith, go away from me. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want any of you to hear it. So let's say we bring up a legitimate question. What if God doesn't take care of me? What about the Christians that are starving to death? What about Christians being driven from their homes? What about the thousands of Christians who will die this year from cancer or car accidents or cardiac arrest? Doesn't God promise to take care of them too? Because we are a society that we want to know why. Right? You know, this community experienced I don't know, how old was he? 16? Yeah. And I did it. My first question was, God, I don't understand why you did this. Why you let this happen? We all do it. Right? But when it becomes worrisome is when we start beating it up day after day after day after day and we do nothing to get closer to God. Because if you ever ask a question you don't really want the answer to, sometimes when I think, when we say, why did you do this to me? We don't really want the answer. We want our answer. And our answer is, God doesn't care about me. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. So those are all fair questions that wouldn't surprise Jesus or any of the writers of the Bible. Revelations talks of a number of martyrs, and Paul told the Romans that even in hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and slaughter, they'd be more than conquerors. Jesus told his disciples, you'll be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. Because that's a promise from God and Jesus himself. Stand firm, believe in me, act in me, and show my love, and not a hair on your head will perish. Even if you die when you shouldn't, here on earth, you will be complete again through Jesus. So that being said, what do we have to worry about? We already know the end story. We shouldn't worry about it. Reason number six, the kingdom matters more. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus wants to set the worry ward aside. You know, when we have nice cars, boats, tractors, houses, we worry about them. What if an accident happens or lightning strikes or a thief breaks in? Jesus says, how about a better treasure? Why do we worry so much about the world and not about our life and God's kingdom? Now, I'm not telling you, get rid of everything. I'm not telling you that. God has blessed us all with gifts and with treasures and with stuff here on earth because he wants to see us enjoy life. Because if we enjoy life, are we going to do more for him if we really understand where our life comes from? You know, God doesn't want us to be in turmoil all the time. Sometimes he uses turmoil to push us and to grow us. And I can think of everyone in this church has had some kind of form of turmoil. Some of us are going through them right now. God's not using that to punish you. God's growing you. Sometimes growing hurts. But understand at the end of the day, God's kingdom matters more than anything else in this world. Jesus may not make your life easy, but he will make your life joyful. He wants to see us free from pursuing all the dead ends we've been driving down. If you live for money, you have reason to be anxious. If the most important thing is your life, in your life is your career, you have reason to be anxious, as that can go bad. If your health or your looks or your kids are your real passion, you may be colossally disappointed. You have reason to fret. But if you seek first the kingdom, you can't lose. So, as I was a 20-year-old, I thought I was pretty well off. I was pretty athletic, pretty muscular. I was doing well in school. Now that I'm a 48-year-old, man, I'm not as good looking as I used to be. Thank goodness I already got my wife. I fooled her into marrying me. But, you know, God has taken when I was a kid and moved everything in my life for a reason. And honestly, I have more joy in my life now than what I ever thought I could have. Now, I didn't say I have more money than I ever thought I could have. I don't have more cars. I don't have the biggest house. I don't care about all that. Because I have the kingdom waiting for me. And I need to do a better job every day of not worrying and expressing my love for my God and my kingdom. Reason number 7. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So as I start thinking about that verse, and I think, oh, well, what about this? You know, I've got 3 daughters. I'm going to have to pay for 3 weddings eventually. I'm going to have to do this. Listen, that may be, I don't know, 100 years down the road. It may be 6 months down the road. I don't know. If I worry about all that today, I'm not doing anything to live for today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We all have enough problems. We all have enough good things happen to us each day in life that we should never look ahead and worry about tomorrow because it may not come. It may not come. Anxiety is living out the future before it gets here. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3:22-24. So what will happen tomorrow? You know, we all have medical reports, we have accidents, we have jobs, test dates, babies, criticisms, whatever, even death. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. But here's the one thing you and I can count on. There will be new mercies from our Lord when we get there. His grace never stops. His love for us never stops. So, in conclusion, how can I stop worrying? How can I stop worrying? You know, take those seven reasons not to worry and dig into your Bible. Dig in. Because the number one thing I can tell you that we can stop from worrying, look to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Because if I can look at that cross and know what he did for me, how is me getting a speeding ticket? How is that going to worry me? And I haven't got a speeding ticket for a while. We probably will today, since I brought that example up. But I'm not worried about it. That's right. I can care less. Okay? He is a sympathetic God. He has shouldered all of the worry for us by dying on the cross. And that's hard for us to grasp because we all have things in our life that we think there's no way God died on the cross for that. Yes, he did. He did. Get deeper in your faith and you're going to see more of his grace. Get rid of the worry. Cast it aside. Turn it over to God. And again, there's no magic formula for that. Pray about it daily. Pray about it all the time. Get deeper in here. grow your faith, see more of God's grace. With that, I am concluded. As we have a time of invitation, if you've never started a relationship with God, you know, we've learned today, don't worry about tomorrow, but don't wait for tomorrow either. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. And that would break my heart for somebody who was waiting for tomorrow that never got tomorrow and they didn't experience Jesus. Because then have I done everything I can do. If you've never experienced Jesus' grace, come forward today and accept Him as your Lord. Now, that's not going to fix all your worries. It's not going to take care of all your problems. But it's going to give you a good base to start your faith relationship with Him. Let's close in prayer and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we corporately turn over all our worries to You, Lord. And we just wish that we hope, we pray that each individual can just cast his worries on You. You've already died on the cross for them, Lord, and you already know what they are. We just need to give You total reign and autonomy in our lives, Lord. And as we throw those worries out to You, Lord, we know that You'll handle them because You care for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.